we are now going to switch seasons again, and we're going to fall into great fundraising ideas, okay? So great fundraising ideas coming up next. Our first speaker on this is Megan Whalen. And Megan, we asked her to be on this panel because I kept reading on the listservs and hearing about the crazy, wild fundraising projects they were doing. I thought, my gosh, this lady has a lot of creative, great ideas, and they need to be shared with you. Megan is president of the student division in Wisconsin. Is that correct? Megan? Recently became treasurer. Okay, and also on our student division board. So here is a young person with a lot of great ideas.
All right, well, is it working? Okay, sorry, I'm short. Okay, first of all, I thought I'd start off with the best opportunity I've ever had, which I don't know that all of you will get to have, and that was putting a pie in Dr. Maurer's face. This past April, the Wisconsin Association of Blind Students hosted our convention, and we had to organize a state fundraiser, and they wanted us to do a dunk tank, but we weren't sure we could really do that in April in Wisconsin because it could snow. So we opted for a pie throwing contest and got tons of whipped cream from Sam's Club and found out we could return it, so that was good. We looked into that first so we wouldn't have tons of spoiled whipped cream all over the place. And we had a pie throwing contest out in the courtyard at the hotel, and it was awesome. It was so much fun, except I felt bad for all the targets because they smelled like sour milk for the rest of the day. So you might want to provide nose plugs if you get the opportunity to do that, but it was a lot of fun. It was something unique that made us stand out and made our convention something that probably won't happen again. In a more traditional form, the Wisconsin Association of Blind Students always does fundraising for both National Convention and Washington Seminar because we always send at least 6 students to both. We've done twice cookie dough sales from ABC Fundraising, and I think we get at least a 60% profit from that. And how that works is you take around order forms ahead of time and you get all the cookie dough. You get them to place their orders and you get their money. You send that in, and then you get the cookie dough. It works kind of like Girl Scout cookies. And we usually make between $700 and $1,000 from that. And the cookies are absolutely delicious, and they're like scoop-and-go cookies, so you can just take out 2 and eat them if you have self-control, or you can just eat the raw cookie dough if you can't wait for it to be cooked. I'll eat the microphone for dinner. We did a bowl-a-thon last January, our first annual bowl-a-thon. It was Pins for Progress, and we made T-shirts, and they had bowling pins on the back, and they were all beat up with Band-Aids on them because we beat them up at our bowl-a-thon. And we made about $1,000 from that, too, and that's really simple to organize. A lot of bowling alleys already have systems set up to organize a bowl-a-thon. So we did that, and all we had to do was get T-shirts designed and printed, which you can usually do in 2 to 3 weeks. And provide pledge sheets. So we gave people the option of either giving a flat donation or donating, 10 cents per pin or a quarter per pin or whatever they wanted for whichever bowler they were sponsoring. And like I said, that brought in over $1,000 with 3 weeks of planning. We've also done the infamous 50-50 raffles and things like that where we get raffle tickets printed for around $50. You can get 1,500 or so. We sell those. And give a first, second, third place prize. And that way our profit's coming in pretty decently. And we can just use, the first $300 as prizes and keep the rest. And that usually brings us at least $700. We've also done, we raffled off an iPod and things like that. So we pay attention to things that most of the time are things that anybody would want so that we don't have to deal with a very minimized market. So we wouldn't want to sell something really specialized that nobody's going to want except for, some obscure group of people. So, even with the iPod, grandma can't say, well, I don't know how to work that fangled thing because she has the option of saying, I don't want the iPod, I want the money. And so that's how we've done it. That way, who doesn't want money, right? Because you could decide to buy the iPod or you could buy groceries or do whatever you want with it. So that's some of what we've done within the Wisconsin Association of Blind Students. The Wisconsin Association of Guide Dog Users, which I'm also president of, has gotten Victor Streams donated the last couple of years, or BookSense, various products. And we've done raffles for those as well, and that's brought in a lot of money. One thing to keep in mind that you can do, which is a huge help, is you can do fundraising through listservs. You can, if you plan far enough ahead of time, you can send out an email and say, hey, we're selling these raffle tickets. If you send us a check for this much, make it out to this bank account, we will fill out the tickets for you, put them in the raffle. The drawing's this date. You don't have to be present to win. At least $500 of profit came from that in the last raffle that I did. So that's a great way to get to a wider market and not have to go door to door and things like that. You get tons of people that way. And then people can pass it on. They can forward the email to people who forward it to people who forward it to people. And then all of a sudden you get these obscure people you didn't know existed. And you have no idea how you got this money. But, hey, you made some money. So that's a lot of what we've done. NABS, National Association of Blind Students, we have our lovely NABS water bottles this year, which are selling pretty well. I think what you really have to do when you're fundraising is you have to look at something. If it's something that you look at and you go, I don't think I'd ever buy that, why are you trying to sell it to people? You want to look for something that you would enjoy, that you think a lot of people would enjoy, and something that's going to be just, you know, something that not everybody's selling. We've done candy bars. Candy bars get tiresome. You know, you find out that this lady's grandson, granddaughter, and ex-nephew's brother-in-law all tried to sell her the same candy bar in the last 3 weeks. And so she doesn't want any more. So I just recommend looking into unique ideas. Don't be afraid to push the boundaries. Throw pies in people's faces. Go bowling. Get out and do things like that. Also, you want to look into fundraisers because, especially in a student division, or I know that some states are starting, I don't know, what are they called, like virtual chapters? Where they have the, yeah, at large. So, you know, you have the phone conferences or whatever. So maybe everybody can't get together to do a bake sale or a bowl-a-thon. So then you look at things like this raffle where you can get the tickets ordered and send 200 to this person and that person and that person, and they can sell and send in the money. So you want to try and come up with some fundraisers that will get you all together, but things that you don't all have to be there together to do as well. So just think about who all you've got in your group, who can help with what, and try to find at least one thing a year that everybody should be able to do. Oh, yeah. The NFB of Wisconsin, our convention last year, we had a old car brought in, and for $2, people could come in and take a sledgehammer to the car. So that was our fundraiser last year. Yeah, and we had like a ratty old computer that they could beat up too to curse technology, so... things like that. You know, look at things that are something that's really going to be entertaining and something that people are going to remember and want to do again, and something that you won't feel like is, you know, just another mundane process. So try to keep it interesting and try and keep it something that everyone's going to want to do again. And I guess that's really the biggest thing. So I guess, am I taking questions or am I just going? Okay. That's about all I had for you, so thank you so much, everybody, for listening, and I hope you make lots of money this year.
We all want Megan in our chapter. Wow. Okay. Our next speaker now is going to be Melissa Riccobono, and Melissa is the state president of our Maryland affiliate. And Melissa, again, has a lot of unique ideas on how to get money into the affiliate. Remember, Maryland is always way up there in all these fundraising adventures we do. But there's a reason for it. So here's Melissa to share some of those ideas.
Sorry about that. Hello, everybody. I am very happy to be here. I am going to share some things that we do as a state affiliate, and then I'm also going to share some of the things that the Greater Baltimore chapter has done, and also a couple of things that some of our other chapters have done. And hopefully with all these ideas, you'll be inspired to do something similar with your chapters and your affiliates. So first of all, I'll start with our affiliate. We do three major fundraisers each year for the affiliate itself, and then we do two major fundraisers for our scholarship fund. So I'll talk about all of them. Our first one is very normal, kind of boring. Not boring, but kind of boring. It's just a basic raffle. I actually have tickets with me if you want to buy any. One for $1, six for $5, and our prizes are $300, $100, and $50. And those are drawn at our state convention banquet. So, you know, that's our fall raffle. And it's good because if you sell 100 tickets, you get a free banquet ticket at our state convention. So, again, I think when you're looking at fundraisers, sometimes it's really nice to have some kind of incentive for people to sell. And so you might want to think about that when you're thinking about fundraisers. What can you do to kind of make it give a little bit of incentive, some kind of contest or some kind of freebie that they get if they do such and such amount of work? We have a spring raffle as well. And that is a little bit more complicated, but it's a lot of fun. And it's kind of easy to sell because it's fun and people like it. It's $5 a ticket. And for the ticket, you get a three-digit number. The tickets that we print 1,000 tickets from 000 to 999. And the ticket is good every day in the month of May. Now, we just chose May. You can choose any month you want, or you can do it any way you want. The three-digit number is a three-digit number is drawn each day in the month of May. And if your number hits on a Sunday through a Friday, you get $50. If it hits on a Saturday, you get $100. So if you sell all 1,000 tickets, that's $5,000. And then you do have a winner every day. So then, you know, you have to factor in how much money that will cost. But you're still coming out, you know, way ahead. We do have it. We say that if you sell 35 tickets, you get $50 cash at the national convention. Or if you don't go to convention around national convention. We actually just had our Maryland caucus last night, and we gave people their $50. And they were happy because who isn't happy to get cash, especially at convention? What we do, and don't tell anybody this, but the way we generate our numbers is we use our Maryland State Lottery. We have a pick three drawing, and so we use those numbers. Now, we don't want to publicize that too because it's not really legal exactly, but it's okay. So if you do that, you know, don't call it, you actually cannot call it a lottery. You can't call it a spring lottery, or you can't really advertise, but you can tell people kind of, you know, on the side that, yes, this is how you get your numbers. And it's actually quite amazing. People really do watch their number every day. And when they win, they're calling up, when do I get my check? You know, my number hit on that. And I'm like, wow, I never even look. I mean, I give the $5, I think it's a great thing, or I give the $10 or $20, whatever. I never look, but obviously these people play the lottery, and so they look. And so it's fun. The one drawback about this is if you don't sell all 1,000 tickets, it's good and it's bad. If you don't sell all 1,000, you don't have a winner every day, or you might not have a winner every day, but then you might. It just depends on how the numbers fall. Some people can win twice. I mean, it's a lottery, so you just don't know what's going to happen. So that's a really fun way. It does take a little bit of work and coordination because you do need somebody to get those numbers online. You need somebody to put – what we do is we put all the numbers and who has them, who bought them, into a spreadsheet. And so it does take a little bit of work, but it's worth it in the end. We get quite a bit of money from it every year, and there are people that look for us every year and say, oh, yeah, those tickets. Aren't you selling those tickets? So those are two of the fundraisers. We also do a basket bingo, which I never heard of in Wisconsin. That's where I'm originally from. Wisconsin. But that's big on the East Coast, or it's at least big in Maryland. You get Longaberger baskets, and you fill them. We have different themed baskets. So we might have a Mexican basket that has, like, a nice chip bowl and salsa and chips and maybe tortillas. I don't know what all. You might have a desk baskets. So you have a basket with stationery and a stapler and staples and paper clips. And then you play bingo. And when somebody gets a bingo, they win the baskets. So you have each game of bingo has a specific basket that the person wins. And again, since it's big on the East Coast, or at least big in Maryland, people actually look for these basket bingo opportunities, because I guess it's a fairly popular fundraiser. And so people go, and, you know, we get part of the proceeds. Of course, you have to buy the baskets, and you have to buy the prizes for the baskets, but you can get a lot of it on sale. We actually, the basket bingo is always in March, but we've already started now getting the fillings for the baskets and getting things on sale and getting the baskets themselves. And so if you're smart about it, you can get a lot of the baskets and things. Those are our three. We also do a crab feast, which, again, is big in Maryland. Don't know if it would be as big in other states. Basically, it's a big buffet, and you can have all-you-can-eat crabs and pit beef and pit ham and corn and all the soda and beer you can drink. That benefits our scholarship fund. That's a bigger undertaking. Needs a lot of advertisement. The food is great, though, because the hall, we rent a hall, and the hall, you know, they have a caterer, and they do all of the food, so we don't have to worry about that. And also, we do, one of our chapters goes with a Knights of Columbus hall, and they actually do a scholarship dinner and auction to benefit our scholarship fund. The Knights of Columbus actually donate all the food, donate the facility. And so then the chapter members themselves either buy or have donated, or however they can rustle up these things to auction off. And they have different, you know, little packages or little things that they auction off. And it's a very fun dinner, and it raises a lot of money. Baked goods always auction well. Speaking of baked goods, at our convention, our state convention, we auction baked goods. We do it between speakers and things to kind of keep people awake. So that's another idea for a fundraiser. And you can even do that at a chapter meeting. Our Greater Baltimore chapter auctions. We have a breakfast almost before almost every meeting. And if we have any leftover breakfast food, we auction that food off and different things. And so there's always things you can auction. Other ideas that I have, or other things that I've been involved with, this one was really fun, and unfortunately we didn't get much of a turnout, partly because we started advertising it very late. And, of course, you need a facility to be able to host this. But we did dinner and a movie. So we had a chili dinner, and we were very lucky. We got to do it at the National Center. So we had the big dining room and things and the big kitchen to cook the chili. But we made a few pots of chili. We invited people from the community to come in to pay a price for a ticket and have our chili dinner. And then we watched, it's the Eric Weinmayer documentary, Touch the Top of the World, I think it's called. We watched that, and we had a little question and answer session at the end for people, you know, and it was really cool because not only did we get people into the building so they could see the National Center, but we also made some money for our chapter, and we also really changed their attitudes about blindness, because not only were they seeing blind people serving the chili, and we told them blind people cook the chili and all that kind of thing, but then they watched this great movie about Eric Weinmayer, who climbed Mount Everest, of all things. And so I think it really, for those who came, I think it was a really fun evening for them. And a lot of, not a lot, but there were some parents that brought kids and things like that. And so I think that's a great fundraiser if you have a facility and can pull it off. Another one that I would love to do, and we've just never been able to do it, but, you know, Jerry Whittle writes such great plays. And, of course, Louisiana... the Louisiana Center students.
Sure, thank you.
That's my daughter. the Louisiana Center students do a great job with plays every year at convention, but that's another idea. If you're a chapter, or you can work with a community theater group or something like that and maybe put on some plays. And again, if you put on the right ones, he has a great one about Louis Braille. And I've always thought that would be a wonderful play to put on and invite kids and invite parents and families and, you know, have question and answer, maybe some demonstrations afterward. You could do a lot with that. Again, it's a lot more time consuming than a raffle, but it could be really fun and really worth it. Another thing that we have done in the Greater Baltimore chapter is that we've had a couple of Valentine's baskets. We had a member who got a bunch of stuff donated, a massage from a blind massage therapist. It was actually a couple's massage, and some really nice gels and different things, body oils, and Then she got a dinner theater to donate a couple of tickets, and so we raffled those off. And again, it was a raffle, but it was for something pretty substantial that people really were interested in winning. Those are what comes to mind. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I'm missing. I think those are it. I mean, I think the thing is with fundraising, like Megan said, make sure it's something that you would want to buy. Don't be afraid to think outside the box. And when you can, if you can do some educating about blindness as you're doing your fundraising, I think it's a really good bonus. And also, think about the talents of your chapter members. You know, if you have a chapter member, I actually sell Discovery Toys, so I've definitely donated some toy gift certificates for raffles. Now, these weren't actually fundraising raffles. They were more membership-building raffles. We had a parent table at a School for the Blind event in Maryland, and we wanted to somehow get parent names and addresses because, you know, we'd like to contact these parents. And if you ask them for their name and address, sometimes they're real funny and they don't want to give it to you. But if you say, oh, hey, you know, we're raffling off this Discovery Toys gift card or whatever it is, and if you fill out this raffle ticket, you know, you don't need to be present to win, but then, of course, we need your phone number at least so we can get a hold of you. You know, sometimes that works really well. So think about chapter members that you have or affiliate members that you have and what they may be able to donate or what talents they might be able to donate. One other last thing really quickly, because it just popped into my head. We had a member in Wisconsin who was this very handy guy. He could fix anything. He could do some carpentry work. He could do all sorts of stuff. He was a sighted guy, so he could drive. And so he auctioned off himself for a day. And basically what he said was, you know, I will do, within reason, pretty much any project around your house that I can do, and I'll drive you anywhere, whatever it is, you know, whatever you decide you want me to do that day. These are some of the things that I can do. If it's just driving, fine. If it's, you know, driving you to Home Depot and then helping you build a bookcase, that's fine. If it's, you know, whatever it is. I'll be yours for, you know, 18 hours or so. And it always made a lot of money when he lived in Wisconsin because people were interested in that kind of thing. So anyway, think outside the box, and I'll definitely be here for questions. Thank you.
Okay, and the last speaker on our panel is a man who asked to be on here because he always seemed to have funds for this and that and some crazy little scheme going or some little project going or something new that he got money for from the state and the feds and private people and all kinds of things. So to hear his unique ideas, here's Anil Lewis. Anil from Georgia.
Is this one on? I think this one's on. Is this one okay?
Yeah.
Can you guys hear me all right? Okay, I think that the presentation was over after Megan. and then Melissa came up, and I knew the presentation was over because I really don't know what to add. But I do have to take this time to take some credit for some things now. You heard Megan talk about the student water bottles, and the students also did a coffee mug last year. Georgia started that. See, now... But see, the students have yet to learn. See, it takes more than just a product. See, we had flavor. We'd
thirsty for the Federation. Who's in water bottles? Thirsty for the Federation. Part in your mouth. Thirsty for the Federation. Who's in water bottles? Now, when I say.
I'm not going to go through the whole thing because I don't know who's all in the room. I don't want to get in any trouble. But we performed that in the exhibit hall, and we sold more bottles for the performance than for the water bottles themselves. But with that, I want to say we had marketing, and that's really Garrick Scott, you know, kind of framed the lyrics. I just added the flavor. But just in the logistics of it, now, when you're looking at doing products, what you want to do is you want to look at something. I know a lot of people sell candy bars and that kind of thing. You want to try to stay away, in my opinion, away from the perishable things unless it's something that you're really going to be able to move. So the water bottles are plastic. They have a shelf life of who knows. We bought them in a large enough quantity so that we could get a good enough return. What my philosophy is when I'm doing fundraiser products is I try to get 100% return on the cost. Now, this is not to leave this room, all right? Because that's the only way we can share it in all confidence. The water bottles cost us $2.50, less than $2.50. We sell them for $5. Yeah. And they're worth $5. And we try to price point all of our items at $5. It's an easier exchange. You don't have to worry about making a whole lot of change. It's just simple. We sold our coffee mugs for $5 because when people come to their come to our table, we don't have to worry about $2 for this, $3 for that. It's $5. The coffee mugs, we didn't get as much of a return. I think the coffee mugs cost us $2.70. Still almost 100% profit on those. Now, we also sold – oh, I'm sorry. What was the coffee mugs? Feeling hot, hot, hot. Yeah, that was the one for the Federation. For the Federation. We also sold seat cushions. On the seat cushions, they had Federation Relaxation on the seat cushions.
Federation Relaxation.
Unfortunately, they didn't sell very well. I don't know if it was the song or the price point. You know, we still had them, I think, at $5. We still have some of those, but we will sell them, and we will eventually clear our profit on all of those because they have a shelf life. I mean, they will last forever. And they also give us ready door prizes when we have conventions and stuff. We need to have them left over. So just as a matter of thumb, the student division water bottles are $10, and they're 28 ounces. The Thirsty for the Federation Georgia water bottles are $5, and they're 32 ounces in a beautiful translucent bottle with Thirsty for the Federation Nahuzi logo. I'm sorry, shameless plug. The other thing is I wanted to tell you guys some stuff because I think that making things interactive gets people engaged. So to continue in the same vein, I have in my pocket a bicentennial silver dollar. No, not bicentennial. A Braille silver dollar, Louis Braille silver dollar. Now, how many of you guys know what a progressive raffle is? Okay, now, all of you who know, yeah, I know Indiana does because this is where I got it from. Yeah, I steal fundraising ideas. That's one advantage of being a national representative, traveling around different fillets. I stole this from Ron Brown, but they did it with baskets. Okay, I'm going to go back and reemphasize that, but I want to talk to you about this progressive raffle first. All right, Louis Braille coin. Now, the progressive raffle is, now we changed it a little bit because Ron gives a little more credibility, I mean a little bit broadness into his. Which you start at a dollar, and you can only bid up in increments of a dollar. So what happens is if you bid, you must pay. So the person who bids a dollar, who wouldn't bid a dollar for a Louis Braille coin? Anybody ever bid a dollar? Anybody bid a dollar? Anybody? All right, we got a dollar. So I would go back and I would collect that dollar from that gentleman. Then I say, all right, who bids two? Anybody bid two? Okay, got two over there. I take it from his. Anybody three? Three? Anybody three? Three? Three got three. I get her $3. Four? Anybody got four? Got four. Now, you guys haven't won anything yet, but I'm getting $4. Okay, I got four. You're four. Four and five. Who got five? Anybody for five? Okay, somebody got five. Go get those five. Five. Six. Anybody six? Anybody six? $6. Anybody six? Okay. All right, seven. Anybody $7? $7 for a little bit of coin. Anybody seven? $7. I go and get his $7. Eight. Anybody eight? $8. Anybody eight? Eight. All right, I'll go ahead and get his eight. Now, you know what? The coin's already paid for. Everything else from this point on, gravy. And we got this coin up to $30 because people thought they were getting a Louis Braille coin for 30 bucks. But at that point, I forget how we calculated it. We, for one coin, I think it was like $400-something dollars. I forget what it was. Yeah, and this is what almost killed me. Fred Schroeder was our national representative at the time. At $8, he's already done the math in his head. Well, that's the coins paid for. Shut up, Fred. Shut up, Fred. $9. Who gave me that? $10. Here's $10. And they just kept on going. Be quiet, Fred. excellent way to raise money. Now, an even better way of raising it is I told you that $8 the coin was paid for. This is the beauty of Ron Brown. Ron Brown has his chapters bring baskets. That means the chapters bring baskets. And they do something creative. But eventually, the winning basket will go under a progressive raffle. Okay, well, you can correct me later, but this is my time. I got this microphone. All right, so At one point, somebody's doing a progressive raffle on one of those baskets. I don't care what that gentleman back there said. This is what I've heard. But the reality is, it's donated. So it's already paid for. From the dollar one, it's gravy. That's what I love about that. So that was one of the things I wanted to tell you guys about. Now, I want to share with you three things that the Georgia affiliate does that are fairly lucrative. And then I want to share with you guys something a little bit more ambitious, which Joanne referenced, that each and every affiliate has the ability to do. Now, our biggest fundraiser, except for these last years, this last couple of years, but it's still been a pretty good fundraiser, is our Black Tie White Cane Banquet. Now, you guys may have heard about that. Now, it started as a simple enough idea because we recognize that the way you raise money and have fun is it's got to be around food. So we went to this local hotel, and you can do this, it's so easy, local hotel, restaurant. As a matter of fact, somebody told me that like an Outback Steakhouse or something has some type of lucrative arrangement with nonprofits that you can get some type of discount or whatever. I haven't researched that. I'll leave that to Garrick as the new affiliate president in October. But we went to a local hotel, and we said, how much would it cost per plate to have 50 people come in and have a banquet? They told us $30. This included tax, gratuity, et cetera. So what was the rule of thumb I said earlier? You want to make a what? You want to make 100% profit. So don't go around the math and stuff and say, oh, do some survey comparison. Oh, the banquets, they charge $125 for their ticket. $60 for a ticket. We sold our tickets for $60. We oversold the 50. It was just stupid. The first year we were here, we oversold the 50. We crammed everybody in. Everybody still had a good time. We had free entertainment because we sang. We had no overhead for presentations because I was the keynote speaker. People get paid for arranging events like this. They call them event planners. Stay away from that. You can do it so easily. What you do is you sell those tickets. You have a little agenda plan. You have food. And then I don't know if we did it the first year, but I know that since that point on, we've done a silent auction in addition to that banquet. So let me clarify for you. We've sold the 50 tickets plus. So we've already made our expenses and then doubled it to make the revenue. Now we have individuals who are donating things. When you do fundraising, as much as you can get free, the better. We requested the AirTran give us some free round-trip tickets. They sent us two. I mean, we just asked. And they actually have a formal program, and I imagine others do too. The hotel we were having an event in, we said, give us a weekend stay. They said, okay. And they went on the silent auction table. The plane tickets, which we got for free, I think they sold for $350. The room at the hotel, I think, sold for like $100. But it's still just gravy because we didn't pay for anything. We just got to donate it. And we just created an environment and an avenue by which people could spend their money. So the Black Tie White Cane Banquet has now grown into something even more phenomenal because we really do end up putting some expenses behind it beyond just the food. We actually have paid entertainment. We have a DJ. And the event goes something like this. People arrive around 6 for a reception. We have the silent auction table out, and we try to have the hotel have a bar near the silent auction table. It's not an open bar. They still have to pay for their drinks, so the hotel's happy. And it's by the silent auction table, so they get really happy. And we have docents working the table, trying to get around, get people, oh, look at this, and making sure everybody knows when their bid is out bid and that kind of thing. That was a learning curve for our affiliate because the first time they treated it like a flea market. Oh, I see nobody's bidding on this. Say minimum bid is $20. I'll give you $10 for it. No. Don't fall into that. Set the standard and educate your members with respect to it. The other thing we got with respect, I'm sorry, let me finish the evening. At 7 o'clock, we would start serving the dinners. So 7 o'clock, around 7:30, people mostly gotten through the significant part of their meals, and we do an award ceremony. So we award internal awards first. So we have a leadership award, volunteer award, lifetime members, that kind of thing. We do in the first half hour. I forgot, we have someone do a slight performance before we start their awards, maybe a vocalist or a spoken word artist or something. Then after we do our internal awards, now we're at 8 o'clock. At 8 o'clock, we do another kind of transitional performance, spoken word, vocalist, a pianist, whatever. Then we do our external awards, all the community awards, and this is the beauty of it, and we still haven't mastered this yet, but if you do this, what you want to do is try to get your community awards acknowledged like months before the banquet. Let them know they're going to be awarded these awards months before the banquet. And then they want their family to come and their employees to come, and then they're buying tickets, and you want them to come because they're going to be the ones to spend the money at the silent auction table, all that kind of stuff. So just make sure that those awards are notified early. Excuse me. Then after 30 minutes of that, around 8:30, we bring on the keynote. And this year we try something different. This year we'll be doing the same thing. It used to be a keynote speaker. We get up somebody in the community, some recognition. We've had UPS, we've had John Lewis, we've had Monica Carpenter, local news commentator, really good keynote speakers. But this past year we had a jazz performance from my aunt Bernadine Mitchell, who's, you know, pretty much world renowned. But she did a set after the external awards that just blew everybody's mind. And everybody was talking about the banquet. It was all fresh again. We're going to do it again this year, have something similar. So that lasts about 30 minutes, no longer than 30. At 9 o'clock, we change the whole vibe of the whole event. We have this DJ who's been with us. We call him Uncle Joe. And the last things that are said at the banquet is, ain't no party like a blind folk party, because a blind folk party don't stop. And we have that DJ bust into some music, and the dance floor just goes stupid crazy, and people are dancing from like 9 till 11 o'clock. And it's a full event for $60. You can't beat it. And we have done a really good job of promoting that event. Now, a couple other little small things, and I was really happy to hear that a lot of people talked about raffles, because you want to make sure that you do the raffles. Because a lot of people, members especially, feel like they're doing something for the organization. And raffle tickets are a very simple thing to do, and continue to do that. But another simple thing to do to get your members involved is ask your members, who does your hair? Who's your dentist? Can you get me their name and their address? And what you do is you get that information, and you compile just a simple little form letter, and you put that in an envelope with a return address, and you ask for a donation. You'd be surprised how much money you got. We got like $300-$400 from about 30 letters that we sent out. And if we did it on a regular basis, we'd probably get more money. Now, lastly, I want to talk about one simple thing, and I can't get a whole lot of detail about it because I don't know what opportunities present themselves for you and your affiliate. One of the things that helps fund the National Federation of the Blind of Georgia is we enter into contracts to provide services for our state agencies. We started through the Jernigan Institute, collaborating in the mentoring program. It was a grant from the federal government. But we ran out of grant money from the federal government. Then we started billing the state agency to pay for it. We are the newsline sponsors for our newsline service. We solicited. We had legislation passed. We actively bidded for the provision of the service. And now what we do is we bill our state public service commission every month for the newsline service. So those are things that present themselves. And like I said, that in itself I think would require a lot more training, because there are some things that you have to put in place. You have to have office space. You have to have insurance. You have to have employees. Those types of things. And maybe that's something that we can build on in the future, actually having an actual formal training on how you can do fee-for-service as an affiliate. So I think I went over my time, even though everything else was covered. I hope it was beneficial. Thank you guys for your time and attention.
This has been a great panel with lots of really specific ideas. But now we're going to do a quick shout-out about ideas that you guys might have for good fundraising things. We'll go through this quick. Remember, we're recording all of this, so it's going to be available for lots and lots of folks to hear for years to come, okay? So come up with the best ideas you have. It'll be on our NFB.org in the next couple of weeks. So, Rosie, ready to...
The summer kisses.
Jim Jackson. I'm with the Portland, Oregon Rose City chapter of the NFB. Our chapter and our state are doing the Portland Marathon this year. People are encouraged to do the entire 26.2, but there's also a 10K walk. And we're printing T-shirts and getting corporate sponsorship.
All right. Any other ideas?
We were thinking of doing like a move-a-thon around our Lake George, which is in St. Cloud, Minnesota. Or else I was thinking of, and I've got to change the words. If anyone has heard the song by Tracy Chapman called For My Lover, I was thinking of rewording that something like 2 weeks in an NFB jail. But I can't I'd have to rework some words. And also a beat baseball game with blind guys and sighted guys with all sleep shades on, playing beat baseball and raising money for the chapter. for the thing.
All right. I think we have time for maybe one more idea. Okay, sounds like we have three ideas left, and we're not going to miss out on any money-making ideas. So I'll start over here. Okay, here you go. Who is over here? Okay, there you go.
Bob Sellers from Washington. There's a company called Ovation Food Services, which has contracts with county fairs, state fairs, amphitheaters. And we were lucky enough to get into an amphitheater. And in our case, we got a beer wine garden. And we got family and friends to participate. Some of our members participate in serving of the beer and wine. We had about six events last year and raised about $3,000. And this year, we hope to raise about $3,500. So and Ovation Food Services only deals with nonprofits. So if they have one, they're not in every city, but check them out.
Thank you. Another great idea. Okay, let's see. Okay, so you go for it, Micah. Try that.
All right. I know how to use microphones. My name is Barbie Elliott. I'm from Utah and Weber Davis County. And in Utah, we have a lot of farms. So we're doing cow patty bingo. And what that is we're dividing a field up into virtual squares, and we're letting a cow loose. And if your ticket number happens to be where the cow does his thing, you get a piece of the pie.
Yeah, I love that.
I'm selling these cow patty bingo tickets here if you want one. They're $5 a piece. The winner gets $100. So come to me if you want some cow patty bingo. I'll give you your address and your phone number, and if you win, you get $100.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The gentleman up here in the front.
Okay.
Is it working?
Yeah.
President of the Central Minnesota chapter, we're looking into other fundraisers, but our big one has been a spaghetti dinner. But now that sounds to you, everybody does. Well, this isn't working right. Okay, I can hear that. A spaghetti dinner. But we've lucked in. A radio announcer about 20 years ago called it the world's finest spaghetti. We have an excellent cook. She was my secretary when I was president of a community organization in that area. And that lady has agreed to help us out. And she has a secret recipe for spaghetti, and Mrs. Joyce Scanlon would like to get it, who herself is an excellent cook. Now this lady is getting older. We don't know how long she lined up a whole bunch of cooks for us. We use the local Eagles Club, and we also, at the same time, send letters incorporating to, like, Legion Clubs, Lions Clubs. Now we've got a little concerned there because a couple of the Legion Clubs have run into hard times. A Lions Club that was contributing went busted, but we're optimistic on our fundraising for the future. But to coordinate the two together with the letter writing and fundraising campaign with the spaghetti dinner, it really helps. And we really plug that thing. We say, well, we have protein in the wintertime. We have this in the January, and the healthy spaghetti. Thank you.
Okay.
All right,
great fundraising ideas, you guys. Now, listen, we're going to do a bunch of door prizes right now because you people have been here for 3 solid hours, and we're getting ready to go into our fourth hour of our Back to Basics dinner. So we need to get some action going here. So let's do some door prizes and an activity.
Yeah, we're going to do 3 door prizes, and then we're going to do another little activity so you can get to know each other just a little better.
And these ideas you can use at the chapter meeting.
So, next activity, I need 3 volunteers to come right here towards me. 3 volunteers. The first 3 people to come over here. Let's go. All right, we got some more. We got 1, 2. Okay. All right, we got some volunteers. Now, since we have been talking about money, right? Guess what these 3 volunteers are getting ready to do? They're going to sing us the pack song.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so why don't you... Okay, they're rehearsing quietly just for a second.
It's going to be recorded for all the blind to hear on NFB.org.
You guys are great. You're the hearty that are still here. And listen, while they're rehearsing, remember that CD I told you about earlier? It's got lots of really clever fundraising ideas on it.
Okay.
A lot more.
Okay.
So look at that CD.
Okay, Joanne.
All right, ready to roll?
Let's first introduce our singers. Now these people are risk takers. They just ran up here not knowing what they were signing up for. Okay, so let's see. Just tell us your state affiliate that you're from.
My name is Ms. Robinson, and I'm from the Dayton, Miami Valley chapter.
Jim Jackson from Oregon affiliate.
Bev Stavrum from Minnesota.
Okay. So we're going to also help them out. They're going to get us started, and then we're all going to jump in and join them, okay? So let's give them the count of three. Okay. One, two, three.
Get on the pack plan. Sign up today.
Divisions right away.
It must be done.
Heroes can be won.
Pack plan. Sign up today.
Contributions right away.
That does deserve some door prizes.
Okay, so we have those three. Now we're going to give them a gift card to Starbucks, okay?
For the fall, you can have a little cup of coffee, warm coffee.
Stay there for a second. Okay, now let's see our chapter presidents, okay? Now you guys are a very knowledgeable group of folks here. Now, I want to know, now I'm going to pick from the left side of the room, right over here. Let's see who's on the second row, or maybe third row. Let's see, do we have a chapter president over here? Okay, let's see. Who's this right here? Oh, okay. Who do we have over here? Now, Susan Ford, do you think that you could recite the NFV pledge? Okay, now Susan, if you do the NFV pledge and your fellow chapter members, chapter presidents here are going to make sure that you've got it right, then you will get a door prize, okay? Okay, do you want a quick second to prepare? You got it? Yep, you got it. Okay, are there any other chapter presidents here? Any other chapter presidents on this side of the room who know the chapter pledge? Oh, let's see. This is a tense moment for our chapter presidents. No? Okay, anybody on this other side of the room with our chapter presidents? No? Oh, she has it. Okay. All right, let's here you go.
I pledge to participate actively in the efforts of the National Federation of the Blind to achieve
alphabet
equality, opportunity and security for the blind, to support the policies and programs of the Federation and to abide by its constitution.
Yes! 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 Give that woman a door prize!
All right. So we're going to give you another polished kind of door prize. Okay, so now I want to know, for our final door prize for now. Yeah, Dunkin' Donuts gift card. Yummy, yummy for the tummy. Okay, another door prize here. Now, I want to know if anybody in this room who's attending our seminar here is celebrating a birthday during convention. Okay, I think we have two people. Let's see, I heard me over here in the front. Who's this? Okay, here. Tell us when your birthday is and what state you're from.
I'm from Virginia, and my birthday was Friday, July 9th.
So. Okay, so Friday, July 9th. Okay, good. Now, who else do we have over here in the back? Okay, shout out your state and when your birthday. All right. So you guys will each get door prizes as well, and we're gonna sing you guys happy birthday. Okay, and we'll say happy birthday, members. Okay, are you guys ready? Okay, one, two, three.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday, dear members! Happy birthday to you! Okay, now so we're gonna get you guys the your door prizes, and we're gonna do a quick little activity, and then we're gonna move on to our next panel here.
Okay? Could our panelists please come on up here?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess we got Garrick, Jesse, Chris Danielson. Okay.
Okay. So this activity is gonna require you to finish a sentence. Okay. Now listen up. It is okay. If I was a ... I would be ... So, for example, if I was a box of cereal, I would be Lucky Charms, okay? Okay, so do you guys kind of understand? Or, you know, if I was an animal, I would be a rabbit, okay? So, give you guys about a minute or so to come up with your phrase and to share with your neighbor, and then we'll share it with the group, okay? Joanne Wilson told me if I was a fruit, I'd be a strawberry. Yes, because I'm juicy, she said. No. All right. So go ahead and start thinking of your things.
I've got a sentence.
Joanne just said if she was a food, she'd be a potato.
yeah.
All right. Now, did you guys have fun coming up with your ideas?
Yeah.
Okay. So let me just hear from a few of you guys. Who wants to share? Okay, so Marcus wants to share. Here we go.
If I was a musical instrument, I'd be a Pearl Export drum set.
all right, anyone else? Let's see. Okay, hold on. Let's see. Over here. Okay.
If I were a bar of soap, I'd be a dove.
Aww.
What'd she say?
That was good. Okay. Over here. Okay.
If I was a tennis shoe, I'd be a Nike.
Oh. All right. Who else? Okay. Let's see.
If I was a piece of fruit, I would be a juicy peach.
Woo! A juicy peach.
Okay.
Okay. One. Let's see. We're going to do one more. Okay. Somebody over here.
If I were blind, I'd be a Federationist.
All right. That's a good one to wind up with.
All
great.
Right.
Okay. Now, remember, on the CD we gave you, there's lots more of these kind of mixer ideas, too, to liven up your chapter. I mean, there's a whole CD in that goodie bag that's full of jokes. And if it's jokes, you can even have it at your chapter means to liven things up.